Well, we'll hear now from God's Word, Psalm 102, the entirety of the psalm. Psalm 102, a prayer of the afflicted when he is overwhelmed and pours out his complaint before the Lord. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come to you. Do not hide your face from me in the day of my trouble. Incline your ear to me. In the day that I call, answer me speedily. For my days are consumed like smoke, and my bones are burned like a hearth. My heart is stricken and withered like grass, so that I forget to eat my bread. Because of the sound of my groaning, my bones cling to my skin. I am like a pelican of the wilderness. I am like an owl of the desert. I lie awake and am like a sparrow alone on the housetop. My enemies reproach me all day long. Those who deride me swear an oath against me, for I have eaten ashes like bread and mingled my drink with weeping because of your indignation and your wrath, for you have lifted me up and cast me away. My days are like a shadow that lengthens, and I wither away like grass. But you, O Lord, shall endure forever, and the remembrance of your name to all generations. You will arise and have mercy on Zion for the time to favor her. Yes, the set time has come, for your servants take pleasure in her stones and show favor to her dust. So the nations shall fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth your glory. For the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory. He shall regard the prayer of the destitute and shall not despise their prayer. This will be written for the generation to come, that a people yet to be created may praise the Lord. For he looked down from the height of his sanctuary. From heaven the Lord viewed the earth to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to release those appointed to death, to declare the name of the Lord in Zion and his praise in Jerusalem, when the peoples are gathered together in the kingdoms to serve the Lord. He weakened my strength in the way. He shortened my days. I said, O my God, do not take me away in the midst of my years. Your years are throughout all generations. Of old you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will endure. Yes, they will all grow old like a garment, like a cloak. You will change them, and they will all be changed. But you are the same, and your years will have no end. The children of your servants will continue, and their descendants will be established before you. Well, this psalm right out of the gate tells us what's going on. That's a prayer of the afflicted when he is overwhelmed and pours out his complaint before the Lord. And what a great comfort it is to us that God knows and anticipates that we will go through times when we will be afflicted and will be overwhelmed with the circumstances of our lives. And he, in psalms like this one, just invites us to come and to pour out our hearts before him. We need to note, of course, that there is a distinction biblically between bringing a complaint to the Lord and complaining about the Lord, right? There are numerous instances, particularly in the book of Numbers, for instance, about the children of God grumbling and complaining against the Lord, complaining about the Lord. And that, of course, is displeasing to the Lord. But when we have occasion to come to the Lord and to explain the burdens of our heart to him, to pour them out to him, he invites us and welcomes us to do that. And so we need to not live in such a way that we pretend that there are no reasons for concern or complaint, but rather when there are those times of overwhelming, those times of being afflicted, to run to the Lord and to bring those items to him in prayer. And so this psalm gives us an example, and it calls us that when we are overwhelmed, when you and I are overwhelmed, we are to cry to the eternal God who will mercifully establish us. When you are overwhelmed, cry out to the merciful God, the eternal God, who will mercifully establish you. And the first 11 verses are a unit. That's a good break in the psalm and the way that we've sung it, Psalm 102a, that it goes from verse 1 through verse 11 because there's a clear transition at the end of verse 11. And these first 11 verses invite us to cry to God when we are overwhelmed. And once again, it's just an encouragement to us, the honesty that God gives us in His Word, particularly in the book of Psalms, about the realities of life, that the Christian life for us, the Christian life for saints of old, is not just a walk in the park, that there are real struggles in our lives, that there are real difficulties that we face. And the psalmist here finds himself, of course, in a day of trouble. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come to you. Do not hide your face from me in the day of my trouble. In this day of trouble, he's calling out to God, God, hear me. In the day of my trouble, don't hide your face from me. Make your blessing rest on me. Don't ignore me in this time of difficulty. And we can see there's at least three kinds of difficulty that have come into the life of the psalmist. And there are types of difficulty that we experience as well. The first and most obvious one in these verses is physical trouble. This is not a healthy individual physically, and it's not too hard to discern. It's not just that he has some sort of a heart murmur that maybe other people in the congregation are not aware of, but he is really having extreme physical difficulty. He is his bones are aching within him. They've been burned up like a hearth. So this goes deep within him. His heart is stricken and withered like grass. He has chest pains, we might say. He's experiencing a level of pain such that that he forgets to eat his food. He's so overwhelmed with his affliction and his problem. Perhaps he doesn't have much of an appetite at all. And he groans throughout the day. His bones cling to his skin. And we see that he doesn't have much of an appetite, and this has gone on for a while. There's also a level of insomnia here. He is awake through the night many times. And he is... it's impacting his whole person. We might say if we met this particular individual, we might think of this as someone with that gray-green skin tone. That you've seen people, that you can just look at them and say, this is not someone who is in a healthy state at all. Shouldn't you be getting some medical attention, perhaps? That is who this is, and he knows it, and he knows that his time is running out. Verse 11, my days are just about over. This is a physical situation of physical desperation. It's not just a small health problem. But this is an individual in real trouble, and he's overwhelmed by this, and he's calling out to God. God, even though other people might see me and might say, boy, you're past the point of medical help, God, don't ignore me in this day of my physical trouble. He also, we see, not only is having physical trouble, but he's having people trouble as well. Verse 8, my enemies reproach me all day long. Those who deride me swear an oath against me. And there are people who are looking down on him instead of sympathizing with him in this time of grief, in this time of just being overwhelmed. He is, instead of receiving sympathy, is receiving abandonment. And if anything, people come by to look at him and to mock him and to look down upon him. You might think of Jesus on the cross even in terms of the way that this psalmist is receiving derision from people. In fact, he describes himself here that they're deriding him, and they're deriding him because he's eaten ashes like bread. Now remember in the Old Testament, right, that when someone's in a time of great grief, they would turn to sackcloth and ashes. They would wear sackcloth and rub ashes on themselves. And he's saying, instead of people seeing that as an expression of my grief and sadness and mourning with me, they use that as an opportunity to taunt me and mock me and to deride me and to say, see, God doesn't really care about you. God is not on my side. I've been in the ashes so often, it's like daily bread to me. And I wept so much that it's part of what I drink as well. In fact, he describes himself here not only in terms of having these problems with other people, but he describes these difficulties in terms of wildlife as well. Verses 6 and 7, I'm like a pelican of the wilderness. Now this requires a little bit of thought. It's a little bit like those verses toward the end of Proverbs that tell us where the writer talks about, you know, there are three things that amaze me, yes, even four. And then he'll talk about the way of the snake on the rock and the way of the bird in the sky. And we have here three different types of bird mentioned. And we have to be careful, of course, the scientific precision of the Hebrew and of our ability to bring this forward is not to the level that we can know all of the exact biological descriptions in detail. But we have here a pelican in the wilderness. Now, what's noteworthy about a pelican in the wilderness? Well, where do you see pelicans? Where do we associate pelicans with? Pelicans live by the water, don't they? And here is this pelican out in the middle of nowhere. This is not a good place for a pelican to live. He's out of his natural environment. Or like an owl in the desert. Like an owl out in the middle of nowhere where there isn't any what? Well, what do owls eat? Owls are birds of prey, right? They eat other animals. Well, an owl that's out in the desert where there aren't little creatures to feast on is a hungry owl. He's out of place as well. And then here's a sparrow as well. And this one is maybe the type of bird that we have the least information on out of the actual translation. But like a sparrow or like some sort of a bird, just alone on a housetop. And it's nighttime. I'm awake, but I'm like a sparrow alone on a housetop. I ought to be home in my nest, is what he's saying. But there's no comfort for me. I'm out of place. I'm isolated. And I'm up all night, and it's not really profitable for me to be in this condition. The psalmist has physical trouble, people trouble. We also see that he recognizes, verse 10, that he has a God trouble as well, a problem in his relationship with the Lord. It's because of your indignation and your wrath that I'm in this predicament, that I'm in this situation. Isn't it true that in our affliction, in our times of being overwhelmed, that in certain regards, those times are made more difficult because we are God's children, because we know the Lord, because we say, you're my Father, you know me, you know what I can bear. And yet you're sending this time of grief and difficulty into my life. And he wrestles with that, right? He understands on the one hand, I'm deserving of your displeasure, but God, you're the one who's lifted me up. Verse 10, you've lifted me up, but then cast me away. Elsewhere in the Psalms, we read about the grief in Psalms 42 and 43, the grief that comes on the psalmist as one who, I used to lead the crowds to go to your house. I used to be at the head of the worshiping assembly, excited to worship you, and now I'm in a far and distant land and I can't access your house. What's going on, God? I used to know close friendship with you, and now you've cast me away. And we can wrestle with that, right? God, you've blessed me in so many ways over the course of my life, and that actually makes the difficulty that I'm feeling much more keen. It makes it that much more painful. It wouldn't hurt so badly if I hadn't enjoyed this fellowship, this close friendship with you. But now, verse 2, you've seemingly hidden your face from me. And I am experiencing really silence from you. Physical struggles. Struggles with other people. And now a struggle with God as well. And so he's saying, God, I need you. And I need you urgently. Verse 2. I need you to hear me. I need you to not lose this request in your inbox, so to speak. But I'm really marking this as urgent. And just by way of application, there are times in life, and maybe for some of you, for some of us, even tonight, where we feel this kind of just overwhelming sense of just the circumstances of our lives. They can be physical, they can be emotional, they can be relational. And ultimately, as people who trust the Lord, we trace them back to Him and we see His hand in all of these things. And it can be a real struggle for us. But the Lord wants you to come to Him and to come to Him and to call out to Him urgently and to ask for His answer to be sent speedily. And so we're encouraged in that way here in Psalm 102, a pouring out of a complaint before the Lord. God, I have real concerns, real heartaches, real burdens, and I'm bringing them to you. And I need you to hear me, because verse 11, I'm about to wither away like the grass. But then we get this great contrast, don't we? The great contrast of the psalm is that whereas we are about to wither away like the grass, verse 12, but you, O Lord, shall endure forever, and the remembrance of your name to all generations. And this becomes something of almost a refrain, if you will, through the next half of, through the second half or second two-thirds of the psalm. Verse 24, your years are throughout all generations. Verse 26, they will perish, but you will endure. And verse 27, you are the same, and your years will have no end. There's a recognition here that in contrast to me and the way that I fade away, that you, God, are the same, and you always have been and always will be. There's an acknowledgement even in our struggles and in our times of weakness of this creator-creature distinction. That you are God and I am not. And on the one hand, we might look at that distinction and say, well, that only magnifies the difference between us and God. And of course, there is a distinction. And we almost might say, well, that makes it even more discouraging. But actually, it makes it much more hopeful for us, doesn't it, when we call out to God. Because what we know is that as we call out to the Lord, we know that He is not dead, that He hasn't fallen asleep on the job. Remember Elijah taunting the prophets of Baal about that? Well, maybe your God's away for a period of time. Maybe He's asleep right now. But we know that God hears us. We know that He continues, that He exists, and that He's not unconscious to our cries. You and I are weak. We lack strength. We hit walls in the course of our lives. But God's years have no end. And that's the transition then into this second part of the psalm. But from there, of course, we see that we are pointed to an intersection between our frailty on the one hand, our limitations, and this eternal, unending, unchanging God. Because what we see in verses 13 through 20 is that God promises to arise in mercy to care for His people. Verse 13, "You will arise and have mercy on Zion, for the time to favor her, yes, the set time has come." There's a confidence that children of God have that it won't continue like this forever. That God's promise to show mercy, and that You will arise and show that mercy to us. In fact, verse 16 tells us that the Lord will build up Zion. He will appear in His glory. And in fact, it's an interesting providence of God that we are in Psalm 102 this evening. Because I would say that Psalm 102 is my favorite incarnation psalm. About the Lord saying, the eternal God saying, "I see you in your misery, and I'm not content to just leave this world in its place of misery and fallenness and sin. I'm going to arise and show myself and to reveal myself." And He's done that in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those of you who have been here a while know that this has been planned for months for us to be in Psalm 102 tonight, right? Several months ago when we started in Psalm 100, and then Pastor Wise was sick randomly on a Sunday evening, and so we looked at Psalm 101, and now here we are in an evening, and so Psalm 102. So this was not planned by me, this was planned by the Lord. But like I said, I think that this psalm really is a psalm that speaks to us of the Lord taking note of us and arising in the perfect time and visiting the earth to bring blessing. Of course, there are other visitations of the Lord as well as the incarnation. But what the Lord is proclaiming to us here, and what the psalmist is saying, is that the Lord is mindful of us, and He regards, verse 17, the prayer of the destitute. He doesn't despise that prayer, but instead He hears us. And there's a corporate component to this as well, right? As the Lord comes and arises, not only on behalf of individuals, but on behalf of Zion, on behalf of His people, His flock as well. And so we have the assurance here that the God who is eternal, the God who is unchanging, the God whose years never fade away, nevertheless, verse 19, looks down from the height of His sanctuary and views the earth, and He hears our groans, the groans of the prisoners. And He not only looks and hears, but He takes action to release those who are appointed to death. And our response to that then, verses 13 through 20 as well, is we see the pattern of worship here, actually down through verse 22 even, to declare the name of the Lord in Zion and His praise in Jerusalem when the people are gathered together and the kingdoms to serve the Lord. One of the things that we need to do as we come together for worship, one of the commands of Scripture is that as the Lord hears our pleas, when we find ourselves at the end of our own rope, and then God comes and reaches down and saves us and helps us and hears us, that we need to proclaim that to one another, and that we corporately proclaim that as we sing to the Lord together, that we acknowledge God's goodness and mercy to us. God here is giving us the assurance that He will arise in mercy, and the fact that He already has arisen in mercy and visited this earth gives us the assurance that He hears us and that He will arise in our defense and care for us even today. And that brings us then fourthly to this last section, verses 23 through 28. And in a sense, you could call 23 through 28 the recapitulation or the summary at the end, right? There's the themes of the psalm are restated in these verses. He weakened my strength in the way. He shortened my days. I called out to Him. I said, "Oh my God, do not take me away in the midst of my days. Your years are throughout all generations," right? That's verses 1 through 11. And then verse 12. And then there's a declaration in verses 25 through 25 and 26. Pointing out to us that the things that we might be tempted to place our trust and confidence in, that we might think that matter is eternal, that the earth itself will sustain and outlast and stand forever. No, verse 26, they will perish, but you will endure. It's contrasting, right, the eternality of God with even the world around us that's temporary. It will perish, but you will endure. But you are the same, and your years will have no end. And then verse 28 is the ultimate contrast as it brings it back then to us. Right? The contrast thus far has been the eternality of God with our weakness and frailty, but God in His mercy will arise and minister grace. But then, notice verse 28. The children of your servants will continue, and their descendants will be established before you. What's this saying? It's actually saying that through union with Christ, that because Christ endures, that God's eternality is actually passed to us, if you will, that we become recipients of eternal life. The children of your servants will continue, and their descendants will be established before you. That God takes weak people like you and me, people who are falling apart at the seams, people who have physical struggles, relational struggles, people who have struggles in our relationship with the Lord, and that He, in His mercy and grace, establishes us. That because Christ endures, that we have a future and a hope as well. The children of your servants will continue, and their descendants will be established before you. And what a comfort and encouragement that is to us. That not only will God sustain us, But of course, this gets us into the covenant promises of God as well. That He will be the God of our children and our children's children as well. And that His arm is not short, but that it continues on in power and strength. And so Psalm 102 really invites us not only to pour out our complaint and concern to the Lord, but also to do so in hope, grasping on to His character, to His eternality, and to His mercy towards us, knowing that He hears us when we pray, and knowing that He in His mercy will arise and take action, and will in fact sustain us in His grace. What a great God who mercifully establishes us and establishes us forever, even as people who, from a human standpoint, to the human eye, people who are falling apart at the seams. And that's how we stand often before God, right? We stand before Him and say, God, I'm falling apart. I don't know how much more of this I can take. I can't bear much more. But You, God, You are eternal, and You will arise, and will arise in mercy to rescue and save me. And so I trust in You. May that be our prayer and our conviction. Amen. Lord, we do thank You that You are a God who hears us when we pray, and who invites us to pour out our hearts to You. Strengthen us in that, God. We pray that we, in Your grace, would be reminded and would pray in a believing way, that we would really believe that You hear us when we call out to You, and that we would be a people who would talk directly to You about our needs, about our concerns. Lord, we pray for those who are here even now who feel like they're holding on just by their fingertips. Lord, we ask that You would arise in mercy, that You would hear their requests, and that You would send help, that You would send aid even before the break of day, that You would be a comfort and a guide to each one. Establish us, we pray, by Your grace. In Christ's name, amen.